Father, in Jesus' name, we again just thank you for this precious, tender love. Lord, thank you that we know we are loved by you. Thank you, Lord, for that love that we have received of you to love you with. Lord, thank you that you continue to pour it forth. And Lord, today, as you've encouraged, oh Son, just grow in the Holy Ghost. Let that love be shed abroad in your heart by my Spirit, Son. Lord, just allow us, Lord God, to receive it. Allow this vessel, Lord God, in the boldness and the power of your might, the demonstration of that wonderful one who sheds the love of God abroad. Let me preach it, Lord Jesus, in sincerity and humility, Lord God, but in the very heart and the love of God. Lord, we know that you are the one that does it all. God, open every heart here this morning. And Lord, again, just cause us to let go of those weights, Lord God, and pull up those tent stakes, Lord Jesus, and allow us to just take off in you. God, thank you again for every life here this morning. Thank you for every life listening that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God, we give you the praise in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Praise his name. If you'd open up your Bibles with me, we're going to John 14. Then we'll go over to John 16. And if we're still here, we'll hit Ephesians. And if the Lord hadn't come yet, we're going to go to Acts. I know you're getting worried, how long are we going to be here, Pastor? But God willing, we're going to be here till he says it's time to go. And take that one to the bank, because that's the way it is, praise the Lord. But I pray you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible with you, I know everybody that's got one, there's nothing more they'd want to share than share their Bible with you this morning. Praise be to God. But let's begin reading John 14 from the 16th verse. This is Jesus praying here. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Ooh, how wonderful. That's what we're going to really dwell in today. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knows him. But ye know him. He's speaking to the disciples here. He's even speaking to all of God's precious people. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, see, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise God for the Spirit of truth. Isn't that an amazing way the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ introduces the Holy Ghost? The emphasis of what the Holy Ghost is all about, brothers and sisters? See, we get so tied up in the sign of the Holy Ghost, in receiving the Holy Ghost. We get so caught up sometimes even in the incredible feeling, Lord, as we speak in that wonderful, magnificent language of the Holy Ghost. And it's all wonderful. But God always help us to remember to magnify and to point out why the purpose that the Spirit of truth would be sent to dwell in us. Amen? In us. And why? Truth. Truth. Listen to what he says here again. He shall teach you all things. See, he's setting up here to know him. He's setting up here that you're going to know the depths of the love of my truth that I have for you. And that is why the Father sent the Holy Ghost. Let's go on over to John 16. Just turn the page there. And John 16, 7. Jesus goes on. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. See, the disciples were very fearful that Jesus was telling them. Now wait a second, Lord. You told us you're going to get on that cross and you're going to die and all this. But now you're going to go away. Oh, yes, it's expedient for me to not just rise from the dead, but to ascend to the right hand of the Father. Praise the Lord. So many people, they'll think that, well, he just ascended and then time's going to go forth and all that. There was a great purpose in that ascension. There was a magnificent, absolute pinnacle of a purpose that was in that ascension. And he says here, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Go on down to the 12th verse. Jesus says, look, I've got many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And just think, these were the disciples. 3.5 years they had been hearing Jesus night and day. And let me tell you something. Jesus told them a lot of things. But there was some intimate stuff. There was all truth. There was all the things that they would be able to hear. They weren't able to bear that. These were grown men. These were disciples. He was even speaking here, praise God, to those ones that would go forth after his ascension and preach the word of God. They had been with him for 3.5 years, but he says, look, you can't understand the things I want to tell you. But here's how you're going to understand them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth. See, again, that's the Holy Ghost. Notice what he's called here. The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and he will show them or make them known unto you. So praise the Lord. This is for us to know all truth. This is for us, praise God, to know the mystery of Christ and the church. This is for us to know the bridal truth. Amen. Yes, see, without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, it is impossible to know all truth. You cannot. He's telling that to the disciples right here. You cannot deny that. You need the Holy Ghost, and not just upon you. As he said, he's been with you and he shall be in you. Amen. There's a difference there. You can go try and deny that if you want. God help you. He's with you and he shall be in you. And the reason that he needs to come into you is so that you can know all of me. That you can know all truth. Praise be to God. That you would know this mystery. And the mystery that I'm speaking of, praise God, is the mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul. And that is exactly, see, why the mystery wasn't given before the Holy Ghost was given, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be led into all truth. See, that infilling of the Holy Ghost in the ability for man to be led into all truth was given at the day of Pentecost. That had happened, praise God, the Lord ascended, and here came the Holy Ghost. And boy, did he come, didn't he? Came like fire. He fell upon, and it said, he fell upon all of them that were seeking him. And did you know that everyone that received the Holy Ghost, you know what it said about them? And they all spoke in other tongues. There wasn't a difference among it, because that was the sign of the infilling. And praise the Lord, this precious infilling, that was then the power of the Spirit of truth to come into a life to give them the ability. It didn't mean it was an assurance, because you still need to yield to God. But to give you the ability, the absolute assurance, that now you can be led into all truth. And you can understand all things. And that all things would even be brought to your remembrance. And I don't know about you, you know. And I know there's a lot that got me beat by a lot of years. But I just turned 50. And I'm telling you, man, this mind, you can ask my wife, pray for me. It don't remember very well anymore. And it's okay. Because you know what? I've got the Holy Ghost that brings all things to my remembrance. Isn't that wonderful? See, anything that matters, I'm going to tell you something. I know I'm going to know. And anything that really matters, I know I'm going to remember. Isn't that wonderful? Because I know who takes care of me. And I believe the word of God, and I believe and stand on the promises of God, which are yea and amen. And I thank God for the wonderful Holy Ghost. But you see, brothers and sisters, this mystery, and I want to talk about that mystery just a bit. Let's go on over to Ephesians 3:3. And see, that mystery is written of Paul in Ephesians, in Colossians, in Romans. It's just so wonderful. It's all there, brothers and sisters. But here in Ephesians, it's so magnificent. In the third chapter, verse 3. And this is Brother Paul. He says, how that by revelation, that means it was like a veil that was, again, taken away. He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And what about this mystery? In other ages, It was not made known unto the sons of men. It wasn't made known to the ones that believed in the Lord. In other ages, we're talking about Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and all of those precious saints. It wasn't made known unto them. It's very clear. Go ahead and read Hebrews 11 in that wonderful Faith Hall of Fame. It goes and says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. But you know what it ends up? It says, yet to us a better thing. And you know what the better thing is? It's this mystery that was shown to Brother Paul. And look at this. He said, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and his prophets by the Spirit. And what was revealed? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. And that word fellow heirs, look it up in the Greek. It means specifically that now, ones that are saved now will be made and can be made, should be made, joint heirs as husband and wife. That's what that word means, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. And of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So see, here we have this wonderful assurance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Father's going to send, and I'm going to send. Hallelujah. We're going to send because it's the purpose of God. We're going to send that Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost was sent on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost was sent, praise God, to believe that he would come into you. And in that wonderful Spirit of truth as he dwells in you, now you can be led into all truth. Now, praise God, opens up the mystery that I'm going to reveal to Paul, which he did, the mystery of Christ Jesus and his bride. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, as God's precious people, may we quit wrestling with this. I really do. I pray that people will listen to this message. That we quit wrestling. That we quit saying, well, you know, my pastor told me this, or my mama brought me up this way, or this is how I was raised, or this is what I believe, or this is what my church teaches. I'm going to ask you something. Do you not want to hear what the scriptures say? What do you want to hear? By the grace of God, I want to hear the word of God. I don't want to hear me, and I don't want to hear you, but I want to hear Christ, praise God, and his word speak through his mouthpieces. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Let's go on over to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, how glorious. It just keeps building, see? And it does. And what a climax it's going to be. Hallelujah. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God. So this group of people, they received the word of God. They believed in Jesus. You know what happened then? They sent unto them Peter and John. Boy, two of the top guns. They said, brothers, get down there. There's some people that love the word of God. Get down there. So he sent them two ignorant fishermen. Them's top guns to God. Amen. But when they were come down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. See, that's what they wanted. They were receiving the word of God. But see, they had an encouragement in their heart
These brothers and sisters, they need to be led into all truth. Praise the Lord. This is why they were sent. This is why we preach the Word of God. This is why we preach this today, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when they went down there, they prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I don't know anybody that's been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus that's not saved. So I can make the connection right here. These are a bunch of saved folk. These are a bunch of precious brothers and sisters in the Lord that had not yet received the Holy Ghost. And it says, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And old Simon, he said, he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands of the Holy Ghost was given. And he offered them money. It's not a good way to get the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, you can't buy that. And Simon figured it out real quick. But I mention that verse is because Simon obviously saw something that happened when those brothers and sisters received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. All right, I'm just going to leave that sit for a second, because the Word of God's going to answer that in just a minute. So now let's go on over to Acts 19. And in Acts 19, how tremendous this is. Like I say, it just keeps building and building. And we'll go ahead and read from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast from Ephesus and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, isn't this amazing what was on Brother Paul's heart? He wanted to know that people were filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul wasn't out there. He wasn't trying to get people saved. Oh, no. He had a little higher calling. He wanted people to get into all truth. He didn't want just a bunch of babies out there in Jesus. He wanted the mature, full-grown sons. He wanted them to honor God and grow up. Praise God. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Pretty direct statement. And notice, he didn't say, hey, sinner, have you received the Holy Ghost? Couldn't say that anyways. Because as we started off, the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost in this fashion. You have to be saved to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's why. That's why these are all believers he's talking to. It's not ironic. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And so what does he tell them? He says, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, we've only been baptized, and said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. You do need to believe in Christ Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? When they heard this, and this is what's so precious. See, they wanted to be baptized right. They were saved, but they wanted to be baptized right. And how were they baptized right? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then what happened? And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, without a doubt, with what we just read, the Holy Ghost is a separate experience. It is a separate gift than salvation. That cannot be denied. Do not try to twist the Word of God. It's what it is. And what we read, we know the evidence. We even know the sign. We know the assurance of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You will speak in other tongues. That's why Simon could perceive that these guys received the Holy Ghost. He didn't get some message from God in his head, because Simon was confused anyways. He saw a sign. He saw that they were speaking in other tongues. And if you're still unsure about it, let's just get her done right now and get on over to Acts 10. And here we go. Not time to wrestle with this stuff. There's a lot of error out there. And I don't know a thing, but I know the Word of God knows everything. And you preach that, and we'll begin to know. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Those that might be having a hard time receiving this right now, in Jesus' name, receive it. Receive it. Quit fighting it. I sense there's a fight. By the grace of God, break. Listen to the word of God in Jesus' name. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What are you going to do with that now? How did they know? Why were they surprised that these Gentiles received the Holy Ghost? How did they know that they received the Holy Ghost? Why? It tells you. For they heard them speak with other tongues. Okay. By the grace of God, can we cease wrestling with that? Praise God. But may we really know it's, again, it's not the experience that is the end all. It's not the actual times that we speak in that magnificent language. The power is why we need to be filled. It's the truth. It's the truth. And more precisely, it's all truth. And even more precisely than that, it's to know all the love truth. It was very precious. The Lord had me go in and really study the word truth. And that word truth, it comes from, and every time you'll read it in the old English and even in the Greek, it's so beautiful. The word fidelity continues to come up. Fidelity, fidelity, fidelity. And as you read about the word fidelity, fidelity comes from the covenant that's exchanged between a husband and a wife. Why would it not be? Why would he not want you to know all truth? Because he wants that fidelity. He wants that knowledge, that intimate knowledge of what he is all about in this age. I want a wife to come out of my people. I want that bride for my own. Brothers and sisters, again, Romans 5:5. The Lord tells us about this love. He tells us so sweetly. And hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of God, listen to this, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's given unto us. See, this is speaking of gushing love here. And again, who does it? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen? We had a wedding here yesterday. And the groom, before the bride could even break the steps there, he's just bawling. I said, brother, you're going to have to shape up now. But what causes that? It's a gushing love. He doesn't cry when his brother gets up and walks across the room. He doesn't cry when his mom and dad get up and walk across the room. But I'll tell you what, when his bride came walking across that room, oh, he broke. He said, oh, that's mine. That's mine. She's for me. You think that gives us a little type of what's going on in Jesus' heart right now for them that will step out in truth and believe the word of God? You think he's thrilling down here with the Father right now? Do you believe he really is gushing tears right now? That's mine, Father. She's mine. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I believe the evidence is just so clear. It's clear to the light. It's all in the Word of God. He gave the Holy Ghost so he could have a wife. All of those precious stories in the Old Testament, they're not just stories. Go in there. Type after type. Symbolism after symbolism. Foreshadowing after foreshadowing. Every story, pretty much across the board, is about Jesus and his bride. How apparent in Genesis 24. I'm sure most know about the story of the bride for Isaac. So many movies, books, all of those things about it. Such a beautiful, beautiful story. Isaac's daddy, Abraham, said, son, you're going to have a wife, and she's going to come out of my people. But son, you're not going to go out and pick that wife. I'm going to send my servant. I'm going to send my servant. The Father God, I'm going to send my Holy Ghost, son. You're going to sit right here with me, son, just like Isaac sat with his daddy in that story. And we're going to send that servant, son. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be right on the money. She's going to meet him at the well. And it's going to be the one. Praise be to God. And that's exactly what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. As the Word of God says, he's seeking out the true worshiper. Never forget that word worship. It means to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. Amen? Why wouldn't he be looking for that for his son? He's looking for the lover that worships me in spirit. There's the Holy Ghost. And in truth. Praise the Lord. So see, this is the same thing, brothers and sisters. That's why the Bible gives us that you'd be led into all truth. That is why the Bible says these are things that man can't comprehend, even a small child of God. How could you be led into all truth? By the Holy Ghost. Do you know that the Bible says that we would know the love of Christ? It even gives the dimensions from the depth to the height to the breadth to the length. It gives it all. You'd say, there's no way I could know all the love of Christ. Oh, yes, you can. By the Holy Ghost. Why do you think the Bible says to be filled with all the fullness of God? People would sit there and say, oh, there's no way. Oh, I know that one over there. There's no way he could be filled with all the fullness of God. But the Bible says it's so. And how does that happen? By the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, he wants a joint heir. Read Romans 8. We are heirs of God as children of God. But it says, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Not the Father, but with Jesus Christ, if we'll suffer together with him, that we also might be glorified together with him. So praise the Lord that we have this wonderful encouragement that he wants a joint heir. He wants that joint heir, husband and wife, that will rule jointly together with him, to be glorified together with him. I'm going to really step out now. He wants an equal partner. Oh, well, go ask my wife. I just married her so she could serve me. Or I'll just flip it around. You know, she married me that I could just serve her. She knows how short I'm of that. Yes, we have our independent roles within our marriage, but the glory is to the marriage. The glory is the oneness. We share in that glory. He wants that equal. He doesn't want some palm-waving servant. That's not intended for you. You don't need to take that place. He wants a wife that will share it all in the midst of the throne with him. But see, why is it so hard for God's precious people to just so simply say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Is it not the height of any man that's sitting in here? Was it not the height, or is it not the height truly of your life in a lot of ways to have a mate? Come on now, be honest. God said that the woman is the glory of man. There is a desire in every man's heart to be adorned in that glory. God gave it to man. The woman, the value of a wife, it says, exceeds all the precious stone in the ruby. If that isn't good enough for you, how about those that know the Word of God? How does it all culminate in Revelation 21? What is the focal point of it all? What is the wrap-up? Well, who is the spectacle for all to see descending from heaven, having the glory of God? It's his wife. Let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. This is how it all wraps up. Who's got the glory of God? Who is the light because of him? It's her. It's her. All because of him. And as we close this, brothers and sisters, that is why only the Holy Ghost can enable one to see this. Only the Holy Ghost can enable one to know this. Only the Holy Ghost can allow one to make this their own. So I ask every life here today, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Or did you stop at being baptized in the name of Jesus? Do you know you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Because you have spoken in other tongues? And even more importantly to most here, because I know most of you here, you are filled. But are you continuing in it? I'm talking about in all the fullness of it. Or have you shelved different parts of it because of the other guy that shelved it too? And you know how birds of a feather like to flock together. You seek out the lowest kind of thing, you'll find it. I'd rather be pushed. I'd rather be chastened. I'd rather be in that nest and allow the Lord to continue to make it a little uncomfortable and say, son, you're going to fly. Huh? Well, I'll tell you what, I want to be like him. And if sometimes it feels as if, you know, that brother Jess, he does, he gets some pretty hard boots and walks on my toes in these pews. Thank the Lord. Because I finally am getting somewhere. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, if that's you and you've shelved any part of that wonderful infilling and the fullness of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask you, how happy are you? How's your joy life? How's the victory? Is Christ's life expanding in you? Or has it kind of stopped? As Paul told Timothy, he said, son, stir up the gift that's in you by the laying on of my hands, that Holy Ghost. Because I know, just like I'm going to tell you right now, God's got grand plans for you. But I'll assure you this, even if you are filled, if you don't stir up that gift, you're going to miss it. And that's why Paul so loved Timothy. He said, oh, you're my son in the faith. But you're going to miss it, brother, if you don't start to stir up that gift. If you don't get into this bridal teaching, honey, and start getting down on your knees and start lifting your hands. Start allowing this heart to pour forth to me, honey. And you know what? You know I love you. But love me. Love me. As he said, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. But Peter, in that state, even as he finished up, he said, oh, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. That was still in the love as a friend. He's not after you in the love of a friend. When he gives you truth, that's the fidelity. When he gives you the meaning of truth, that's the covenant between a husband and wife. I better sober up, and I better get on running. Stir up the gift, brothers and sisters.
You have not received the spirit of fear, but of power.
Amen.
And of love.
Hallelujah.
And of a sound
mind. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah!
Praise God. Praise God. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just stand and praise him a bit. Come on, let's just stand and praise.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord, that you have done it. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you. Praise you, Father. Oh, in Jesus' name we come. And Lord, I do. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit gives me utterance. Lord, I do. I stand in absolute amazement of your love to us and the care and the power, Lord, that you give us all. And because the great love wherewith we are loved, you're enlightening our eyes to see it. You're awakening lives that want to know. God, help us to just come after you. Oh, to just take it up and run after you, Lord God. Oh, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this encouragement to all of us, your people. And praise God, by the grace of God, a people for your name's sake. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.